The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Sean Kelly, who is entirely responsible for its content. Welcome to Cyber Chat with Sean Kelly, former CISO at EPA and former deputy CIO at Veterans Affairs on Federal News Network, sponsored by Looking Glass. Cyber Chat, where government leaders come to discuss the hottest cyber topics affecting us today. Now your host, Sean Kelly.
Hello and welcome to Cyber Chat. Today we're speaking with Bill James, Deputy Assistant Secretary, DevOps, Office of Information and Technology at the Department of Veterans Affairs, and Drew Michelgard, Acting Executive Director, Demand Management at the Office of Information Technology at the Department of Veterans Affairs. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Sean.
So a little background. You know, VA's been going through a transformation for a few years, and a huge part of that modernization is the adoption of DevOps and Agile methodologies. Obviously, I'm interested in this because this can lead to only better cybersecurity. So today, we're going to be talking about DevOps. But I think there's a lot of misnomers as we talk about DevOps, right? How does Agile and DevOps work together? Are they synonymous? Are they two separate thinkings, or what is it?
You know, thanks, Sean. Great question. A lot of people think that there's a dichotomy between Agile and DevOps. And not only that, but also ITIL and other things that seem to be orthogonal or different or outside of DevOps. We don't view it that way. We view them to be all part and all integrated into the same culture shift that we're undertaking today in the VA and in IT.
So when we look at this, Drew, you know, obviously I'm a cybersecurity guy, and I want to know, where does DevSecOps fall into the DevOps methodology?
Yeah, good question, Sean. So when you combine development operations together, you've got to push security to the left and be thinking about that from the beginning. You can do that a couple of ways. One is you can leverage things like FedRAMP, where we're using FedRAMP authorized products as a basis for all of our development. And those are usually done in the cloud, in a commercial cloud. So you start out at the beginning with a safe, secure product that has all those controls in place. The other thing you can do is as you're working with customers trying to identify their needs and the problem you're trying to solve, you have your security people in the room. Like there's the best thing to do with this to make an app safe from the beginning is to have them in the room at the beginning of the whole discovery process and the first couple of sprints. And that way the security team knows where you're trying to go. They understand what you're trying to solve for, and they can actually give you some ideas on how to get there faster.
Now, Bill, this isn't entirely new to the VA. I know when I was at VA, the VBMS program had some agile development, some version of DevOps into their methodology. So, but this is the propagation across the entire VA and all the development that happens inside.
That's correct. It's a culture shift. I mean, we have adopted Agile in terms of periodic deliveries of products. But the culture shift here is where we're taking the hardware, if you will, the operations, the software, if you will, the development, and the customer, the user, those three legs of the stool, and we're cinching them together tight. So they're part of a single team approach towards problem solving as opposed to separate stovepipes where you throw something over the fence to one another. You know, the DevOps, kind of the picture that a lot of people have is, you know, we start out with something on wheels like a skateboard, which escalates to a tricycle, then a bicycle, and then a car ultimately. But you have something that's always rolling, something that's always moving. And our CISO, Paul Cunningham, said, oh, by the way, the analogy doesn't stop there. Even on your skateboard, you start with a bike helmet, right? Mm-hmm. So we bake in security from the beginning in this DevSecOps approach as opposed to bolted on at the end. We're developing products at the beginning incrementally as opposed to the waterfall methodology where you're looking for something at the end. So we're engaging the customer at the beginning as opposed to pushing all the testing down to the end. So it's a different way of thinking. And you're right, we do have existing examples of that today in the VA. What we're doing is we're taking those great existing examples and spreading that across the culture.
Now, you know, Bill, I know you have a long history both in government and industry, and I know, Drew, you have a military background and not as long as a government, but you mentioned waterfall. A lot of our government staff grew up in a waterfall methodology. We were trained. That was what we adopted. How will we make this transition? Will we be training government personnel? Will we rely on industry to bring this in? What's the way we're going to do this?
Yes, all the above. As you know, I've been on both sides of the fence. I started out as a GS-1 back in the day, and that's when we did have the software development lifecycle, which was waterfall, and that was the way we did business. So we are training. We're looking at the skill set. I've done a skills inventory of the folks in OIT, and that's the as is. And we are looking at industry and the Gartner Group and other experts say, what is the to be? And now that we have the gap, we're offering training to make sure that we can move our organization to the to be state over time, you know, with a sound approach. And it doesn't end with our own civilians. As you noted, half of our or more of our workforce are contractor FTEs, full-time equivalent folks, and they have to buy into this approach as well. So our contracts are going to be modified to incorporate this approach to developing software faster, better, and cheaper for our veterans.
And is there a warm reception on the staff that they're going to get to learn a new skill?
Absolutely. We've gotten all hands, teleconferences and things like that. And we've seen a lot of interest as I've been sending these emails out and we've been having these meetings. So there's a hunger to adopt this type of approach and this cultural shift. It's going to take time. We're just at the beginning baby steps of this process. But I absolutely see a lot of eagerness to join in.
Very good, Drew.
Yeah, and just a little bit of concrete. When you think of like a feature or a product getting rolled out, the DevOps and the product line and the product ownership starts with the business working hand in hand with us, oftentimes sometimes in the same room. To enable that, we need to write the right contracts for the contractor support. We need to have our people trained. And then we also need to be looking on the outside for new people coming in. So we've actually been helped institutionally with the last part. We now have direct hiring authority. So for our engineers, our 2210s, we're able then to select people, often from the commercial sector, to come in and infuse that culture, because culture is always the hardest part to change. We're also lucky at this point because we're hand-selecting teams to begin building this way and getting us that product line ownership. So we're finding like the star business lines who have seen this done in the commercial sector and want to do it in VA. We're able to bring together our engineers who either have the experience or want to learn. And so we're not forcing this down people's throats at this point. And so what we're able to do is get a coalition of the willing. And that's really a little bit different than my, you know, the way things have been done in the past when I was in the military. You didn't get a lot of volunteering opportunities. But that's what's really exciting about when you're trying to change culture and you're able to ask people to raise their hand and come out. And VA has a great culture and long-term desire to always improve and deliver that value to the veteran.
Yeah, no, I know the VA. I mean, people work at the VA and stay at the VA because of the culture and the mission, and they want to support it. My guest today is Mr. Bill James, Deputy Assistant Secretary, DevOps, Office of Information and Technology at the Department of Veterans Affairs, and Drew Michaelgard, Acting Executive Director of Demand Management, Office of Information Technology at the Department of Veterans Affairs. I am Sean Kelly. This is CyberChat on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network.
This is Mark Amtower. My show, Amtower Off Center, brings you the best and brightest minds in government sales, marketing, and business development who share insights to help you grow your business. How to make content marketing work for you, advice for channel players on how to win more government business, and the real scoop on selling from GWACs and IDIQs. Tune in Mondays at noon on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network, or subscribe to Amtower Off Center on iTunes or Podcast One.
This is Jason Miller, Executive Editor of Federal News Network, inviting you to listen to Views from the Corner Office. Every week, we sit down with industry leaders who influence and impact the federal market. The show is not about the individual company, but about the opinions of the people who lead federal practices on technology, acquisition, and leadership issues. Tune in Fridays at noon on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network, or subscribe to Views from the Corner Office on iTunes or Podcast One.
Welcome back to CyberChat on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network. My guest today, I'm Mr. Bill James, Deputy Assistant Secretary, DevOps, Office of Information and Technology at the Department of Veterans Affairs, and Drew Michaelgard, Acting Executive Director, Demand Management, Office of Information Technology, Department of Veterans Affairs. Before we went on break, Bill, we were talking about DevSecOps, and you and Drew did a great job of saying what the difference is between dev and sec and how they work together. But let's talk a little bit about the ops. You recently took over not only DevOps, the development side of VA's operations, but the operations. What does that mean, and how does that all work together?
You know, a great point, and you're exactly right. The development organization and the operational organization are now underneath me organizationally inside the VA. And you need to know that we have a lot of great cooperation on both sides of the fence. And basically what's happening here is that we are merging the services that are provided. So we're organizing, at least from an architectural perspective, all of our solutions, all of our systems in terms of product line portfolios. So we'll have an enterprise portfolio which deals primarily with those systems that have veteran-facing interfaces. And then we'll have a portfolio around benefits like compensation and pension and so forth. And then we'll have a portfolio around health. And then product lines under those portfolios. And so by doing so, we create an opportunity to put the ops and the dev and the customer in an IPT format inside those product lines. It's really, really exciting. You can think about it. We have five portfolios. Just think about five different teams with five different colors of T-shirts. And I don't care if you're an operator in a data center in Austin, Texas, walking up a row of racks of equipment, you're wearing your orange T-shirt. You know that you're part of the health portfolio, for example, and you care about what's happening with those applications. In my view, DevSecOps equals empathy. It equals customer advocacy. So everybody in OIT will have a customer that they're worried about, concerned about, and want to make sure that their operations are the best and that their customers are being served at the best way possible.
You mentioned customers, and Drew, this may go in a little bit of demand management, which I want to talk about in a second. But you guys have some tough customers. You have some customers that have a lot of needs, and the resources aren't always there to satisfy all those needs. I mean, when I was there was a $4.2 billion budget, and I think there was a double-digit, multi-billion dollar number of wants. And so the juggling act that you guys got to do all the time is tough. Drew, is that where you come in with demand management? And what is demand management?
Yeah, so demand management is the organization that acts as a front door to OINT. So I have architecture and engineering, I have our intake group, and then I have our cloud team under us. So when we first identify, and we're pushing even out further, traditionally we would let the requirements, I think when you were there, like somebody would show up with an Epic and some requirements. We're actually pushing that out even ahead to your former group with the AMOs, where we're doing some human-centered design sprints, some discovery sprints mm-hmm. with those teams to understand what problem the business is trying to solve. Because you're right, we are constrained in our environment, but the need to serve our veterans and accomplish that mission is still an imperative. So what we're looking at is trying to figure out as clearly and cleanly as possible in the beginning what problem they're solving, how can we realistically do it with, do we need to look at SaaS? Can we develop some APIs and put this out for custom development, somebody build outside of VA? Do we need to build this internally? So we're going in with the eyes wide open. We're looking at these requirements.
And are the administrations, when I say administrations, VHA, VBA, NCA, the administration offices, Are they being receptive? Are they embracing this?
Absolutely. In some ways, this is going back to the old days, mm-hmm. where the users are engaged in front on top and are part of this whole solution. So I'm getting a lot of thumbs up and excitement out of my customers, VBA, VHA, and NCA, around this whole product line approach and as it relates specifically to DevOps as it grows into the DevOps model.
You know, there's a lot of legacy. VA, I think, has been a great model for innovation over the years, in years past, that also caused a lot of problems. You know, it brings a lot. And I know that VA has made amazing progress on their material weakness. Will this help us? Will this help us as we bring better products to the market, as we're able to replace legacy applications quicker because we have an agile approach? Will this help with that overall down the road?
Yes, it will. And one of the things that's enabling that, Sean, is the cloud. As you know, we have an aggressive cloud practice and activity, and a lot of these legacy applications are living in third-party data centers, and we're moving those applications to the cloud. For example, Vista, which is our electronic healthcare record system today, we've got 70 instantiations of the 130-something Vista operating in a Defense Information Systems Agency, DISA, data center in St. Louis today. Well, we're going to be moving those to the cloud in a controlled, deliberate way. But that's an example of when we get these legacy applications in the cloud, now we can do amazing things. We can do automated testing as opposed to the mostly manual way we do testing today. We can do automated security insights and testing. We can understand the assets that are living in the cloud. There's an amazing amount of work that you can be done. So we're not leaping ahead in terms of three and four generations. We're doing this incrementally and stepwise to make sure that we're prepared to go to DevOps. So we want to make sure that as we have applications moving to the cloud, then we can apply the DevOps principles. One of the ideas back to the integration of operations with the development staff is you build it, you own it. So as we build applications, project managers, rather than moving on to the next project, no, they stick with that project. They are now the subject matter expert, and they now own that. And not only the development, but they also own the operation. So we're moving to a perspective and a practice where you never lose track of the application you build. You are now responsible and accountable to the customers you serve with that application. It's very, very exciting.
Andrew, you have a little experience with cloud, don't you?
Yeah, it's funny when you were talking about not being in the government long. I'm actually at a disadvantage on some of the times when we've done these legacy evaluations, because that's the only way that I learned how to build. I've never spun up a server and provisioned it and worried about uptime. So that was it's a new way of thinking. For VA though, it's not ingrained yet in our DNA, but we're pushing on it. One addition to what Bill was saying about the product lines, we have great ideas and great systems, but we've oftentimes limited to that. So we have 600 and some systems, and maybe a number of other ones that are out in the field that we haven't chronicled. But there hasn't been a product owner for that type of feature set. So we hope that when we get to product owners and they look and they're like, well, I have 50 different systems that are accomplishing, you know, maybe some of the same things and overlap, that it down at that lower level, so it's not made up on a decision made at the highest levels, but actually at the lowest levels, who are delivering those functions to the businesses, they're deciding together from a business and IT perspective which systems we need and which ones we can shut off right away.
No, I appreciate it. My guests today are Mr. Bill James, Deputy Assistant Secretary, DevOps, Office of Information and Technology, and Drew Michelgard, Acting Executive Director, Demand Management, Office of Information Technology, and both are from the Department of Veterans Affairs. I am Sean Kelly. This is CyberChat on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network.
Hi, this is Executive Editor Jason Miller, host of Ask the CIO. Check out my weekly conversations with agency CIOs, CISOs, and other high-level IT leaders. Find out what's on their minds as we examine the issues all IT offices have to tackle. Cyber, cloud, big data, IoT, consolidation, budget, and workforce. It's the talk of the IT community. Tune in Thursday mornings at 10 on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network, or subscribe to Ask the CIO on iTunes or Podcast One.
I'm Gigi Shum, host of Women of Washington. My show highlights the women executives of the Washington, D.C. area, how they began and how they built their career through the decades. These women are the groundbreakers and the trailblazers in their fields. They share their stories with me so the next generation executive can learn from them. Tune in Wednesday afternoons at 1 on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network, or subscribe to Women of Washington on iTunes or Podcast One.
Hi, this is Senior Correspondent Mike Causey. In Washington, we follow the money, especially since it's yours, every week on Your Turn with Mike Causey. Whether it's your pay raise, a major change to your retirement package, or the chances of RIFs or buyouts, we're on it because we know how hard you work and what it means to you. Give us a listen Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network, or subscribe to Your Turn on iTunes or Podcast One.
Welcome back to CyberChat on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network. My guests today are Mr. Bill James, Deputy Assistant Secretary DevOps, and Drew Michelgard, Acting Executive Director, Demand Management, both from the Office of Information and Technology at the Department of Veterans Affairs. Gentlemen, before we were going on, we were talking about DevOps, and we went on break, I mean. So, Drew, give me some examples of programs that we're already doing DevOps at the VA?
Yeah, earlier I mentioned that we're asking for volunteers, like teams that are already working this way, to raise their hands. And one of the first ones to do that was the VA.gov team. So Digital Service early on took over and developed our next generation homepage at vets.gov. And then they transitioned that over to VA.gov this last fall in November. That team was implementing the best practices from the commercial sector. They built cloud-native tools. Security was used up front. They deployed multiple times a day. They tracked their issues and did human-centered design throughout the entire process. So we took that team and set up metrics around this, because it's great to talk about it, but what we wanted to do is have it probably our key property and our key application and see if DevOps really improved that. And I'm happy to say that it has. So we've seen a 51% increase in the number of healthcare applications submitted since November 8th. We've seen a 20% increase in customer satisfaction versus using our old site, the old va.gov versus the new one. And by the way, like major companies like us, we're Fortune 8. They would pay millions and millions of dollars for like a 1 or 2% increase in customer satisfaction. And then the last couple of areas that really exploded are features like our 311. And then also our online burial benefits. We saw a 200% increase uptake of that feature, of the 311 feature, and like a 70% increase in the number of burial benefits. So what we had was a team building the right way, and then we have metrics around that show the rest of the organization why you want to do that, because our veterans are happier. So then we're expanding that aperture out, and we're taking a couple of other digital service teams in, and Bill's going to handpick the next couple. I hope one of them is, you know, like our API program, because we put a lot of effort into recruiting through that direct hiring new developers from three of them just started from all corporate develop or sorry, they were all commercial developers, API developers. And then we've got some other key areas where it's high touch. Telehealth is probably another one. And these other high touch areas with our veterans that we're going to be focused on, looking for teams that want to learn how to build these products this way and then push them out.
Bill? Just like to foot stomp on the point about how we measure our success. It's all about veteran engagement, period. It starts there. It ends there. And our metrics are focused on that. I mean, our secretary's number one priority is customer experience. And to us, that means the veteran experience. So it's as interesting, as exciting it is for us as, you know, knowledgeable IT professionals, it's only meaningful and relevant if it relates to the veteran. And that's where we're going with this. And that's how we measure our success.
No, and I think, you know, when we talk about change management, we talk about being ingrained in the VA. You know, digital services is a concept that started during the last administration with healthcare.gov and has continued on, and now agile development. And so as people are hearing about this, this shouldn't be a concern. Well, is this just going to go away with the next administration? This is built for the long term.
That's right. If organizationally, today, digital service is inside organizationally, inside our enterprise program management office, inside OIT. We are shoulder to shoulder. We are using the best practices, and we're spreading them out. So they are entirely integrated into us. It's not one thing and another thing, digital services and everybody else. No, we are one team, one fight, one success. And so they're just projects. Certain projects have the qualities, the DevOps qualities that we all aspire to. And what we're doing is we're taking those practices and procedures and tools and cloud, and we're applying them to other projects too. So from a workforce perspective, we're adopting these practices culturally and spreading them out throughout the organization.
So there's a small T4 company out there that wants to become involved. What? And I say T4, everybody, just because that's probably the vehicle they're on, right? But what do they got to do to be ready? What do they need to be doing to build, to be able to support you in the future?
Buy into the agile process. Help us with the minimally viable product, which is the first tiny little product that's operational and offers value to the customer. That one little thing you can build and then build onto as you move ahead. So all of our small businesses and our large businesses need to help me in this cultural transformation and move ahead with Agile. So regardless of the intrinsic desire by the customer to have everything at once, we need to make sure that we are all on board, customer, contractor, government, with the agile approach, which is build a little, test a little, deploy a little, build a little more, test a little more, deploy a little more, and do that incrementally and build that value from day one.
And if I'm that millennial government employee who just started and is starting to look at, what do they got to do to get ready? You know, that they can be that person, they can be the next Drew and look at be the up-and-comer that is now an executive director that can get their self ready to stock into this kind of environment.
First of all, please apply. We have hundreds of vacancies. We need hundreds of Drews in the VA. And so bring your talent, bring your expertise, bring your energy, bring your new ideas. Because this is not over today. It's not over tomorrow. It's at some point that new employee is going to be the five-year employee, and there's going to be a new group of folks coming in. But we want you on board inside the VA. We want you to help change the way we do business. We want to adopt the new tools that you're using and are comfortable with. That's all part of our DevOps journey.
And USA Jobs is where they'll find those positions?
Absolutely. We also have direct hire authority.
Agreed.
And we're out there at conferences, and we have hiring events at conferences. All of these vacancies are available and open right now. So we're looking for talent, and we're hiring.
True.
Yeah, just too quickly on that. If you're a small company and you want to get into the VA, you mentioned T4, and that's really been where most of our work's done. But we're always looking for that next generation of companies to work with. And in working with the government's challenge, like you've got to learn the system. So we've set up over the last year what we call micro-consulting programs. So we leverage a $10,000, approximately $10,000 contract award. You can come in and they're listed on our website. If you look up Lighthouse micro-consulting for VA, you'll see our GitHub repo with the most recent challenges. This actually is a great way to learn how to work with the government, learn to see how we want to work in a low-risk environment, and also it counts as a qual. So as a business, you want to come in and be one of the next T4, be on board on T4. This is one way to get quals. As far as employees, coming on as employee, Bill's absolutely right. We were hiring at HIMSS, hiring the same day. We were down at South by Southwest hiring. You can tweet me at Drew Michaelgard. You can find me on LinkedIn. I'm pretty accessible. I can plug you into the next time we're interviewing, keep you up to date.
Want to ask the question, and if this is a question that's not for you, then I'll tell them to go. We'll tell them to go to OSDBU. But what about the Rule of Two and the SDVOB? Do they need on those microservices to be an SDVOB?
No, absolutely not. Under 10,000, it's full and open. And a lot of those we actually award to a number of companies. We did one for an API landscape. We wanted to know for our API program which should be the next APIs we build. I think we ended up having two or three different companies that we awarded to.
Well, gentlemen, I want to thank you very much for coming in today. My guests today have been Mr. Bill James, Deputy Assistant Secretary for DevOps, and Drew Michaelgard, Acting Executive Director for Demand Management, both at the Office of Information and Technology at the Department of Veterans Affairs. I am Sean Kelly. Thank you for listening. Keep up with the latest cybersecurity news at cyberchatnews.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Mr. Sean Kelly. We'll see you next time. Thank you.
You've been listening to Cyber Chat with Sean Kelly, sponsored by Looking Glass. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show at federalnewsnetwork.com. Search Cyber Chat.